Hi, kids. You're about to hear a Christmas story that's never been told before.
'Tis the season for our annual Hanukkah Christmas mashup. I'm Barrett Golding. This is Hearing Voices from NPR. We start in Afghanistan, December 2010. NPR's Quill Lawrence talked to troops in a military hospital at Bagram Air Base.
Sergeant Zachary Skosky, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm Sergeant Wallace Trahan III from Baton Rouge, well, Prairieville, Louisiana.
My name's Diane Huey. I'm a colonel in the U.S. Air Force from Langley Air Force Base. I'm originally out of Ohio.
My name's Sergeant Aaron Kelly. I'm from Camp Pendleton, California. I've been deployed four times.
I was in Desert Storm. This is my third deployment.
Haiti, right after the earthquake in January.
I was active duty for 11 years.
Previous deployments in Iraq.
And then reserves for 18, and then I just came back.
Just recently deployed to Afghanistan.
First tour to Afghanistan.
These guys are unbelievable. My job is to coordinate air evac. I have to make sure that they're medically stable for flight. And the chance to work with these guys who have given their arms, their legs, and many of them their lives for us is just very difficult to express. Sorry.
I got my first Purple Heart 2 weeks ago.
I just got here last night, actually.
I stepped on a 20-pound IED pressure plate yesterday. We just went out on a patrol.
We have a traffic control point. There's a blind corner that we had actually checked often because we knew it was a spot that somebody could ambush us from.
We launched some explosives and detonated one IED.
In the middle of a rush of people coming in,
we started walking down a path.
A guy stepped out from that corner and chucked a grenade about 35 yards, and it just hit perfect. It hit right in front of my vehicle, rolled right past me.
Just got hit by an IED, ended up having to get medevaced.
Blew me against the vehicle, and I caught some shrapnel in my lower legs.
That's when I stepped on the pressure plate, and like I said, it just partially detonated, so I didn't get the full blast.
We were kind of short on people, because we got people getting hurt and stuff like that. So I decided just to forego treatment and stay out there. It became a tactic of theirs to right at dusk to start throwing grenades. A couple days ago, like 13 days after the first one, and we were actually sitting in a spot waiting for somebody to throw something. It came over a roof, bounced down, and just landed like right at my feet. And I turned around to see it, and it exploded. My medic was on the vehicle waiting on me. By the time we got halfway there, I realized I wasn't going to bleed out.
As soon as it went off, I went and I ran over to our corpsman so he could immediately start his triage and start working on me.
Grade 3 concussion.
I knew that I was going to be fine.
They thought I just bruised my shoulder.
Just broken. That was it.
Tore some soft tissue in my shoulder.
They're sending me back to the States. By the time I'm done with healing and rehab, my unit will be coming back.
Luckily, the truck did its job. Besides some minor bumps and bruises and cuts, luckily that was about it.
Have a great holiday. We love all of you.
I'm safe, and I'm on my way back home. I'll be there soon.
Just Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and just make sure that people, you know, just kind of realize that there's still a lot of us over here.
I hope y'all have a Merry Christmas, and I miss y'all. To Candace May, Honey Bunny.
Thank you. sing thy prayer accounts for the next 5 million days. Please be patient. An angel will be with thee shortly. Please continue thee to hold, all thy ills shall be relieved, every human grief consoled, in the order 'twas received. Please be patient. An authorized prayer technician will be with thee shortly. Please be patient. Oh, to save thee time, wait for the chime.
And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
These are the children at the University of Michigan Children's Psychiatric Hospital. It's off a 1978 album called Christmas at CPH. You are listening to Hearing Voices with our annual Hanukkah Christmas mashup. You heard astronaut Frank Borman with a Christmas greeting from space. He was aboard the Apollo 8 capsule December 24th, 1968. Feist sang Please Be Patient. That's from A Colbert Christmas Comedy Central special. And NPR's Quill Lawrence talked to troops at Bagram Air Base, Afghanistan. The mix was by Jim Wildman with music by W.G. Snuffy Walden. On Hearing Voices, here's a season's greet from Tom Waits, live.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Hey Charlie, baby, I'm pregnant. And I've been living on 9th Street here. Right above this dirty bookstore off Euclid Avenue. Believe it or not, I stopped taking dope and I quit drinking whiskey. Man, my old man, he plays trombone. And he works out at the track. And he says that he loves me even though it's not his baby. And he says he's gonna raise him up just like he would his own son. And he gave me a ring that was worn by his mother. Oh, he takes me out dancing. Pretty near every Saturday night. And Charlie, I still think about you, man. Every time I pass a filling station. All on account of all the grease you used to wear in your hair. And baby, I still got that record. Little Anthony and the Imperials going out of my head over you, out of my head over you. I'm out of my head over you. After all these years, but you know, someone stole my record player. Oh, for Christ's sakes. How you like that? And Charlie almost went crazy, baby, after Mario got busted. So I went back to Omaha to live with my folks. And everyone that I used to know was either dead or in prison. So I came back to Minneapolis. This time I think I'm gonna stay. And Charlie, baby, I think I'm happy now. Leastwise, for the first time since my accident. I wish I had all the money we used to spend on dope. I think I'd buy me a used car lot. Maybe I don't think I'd ever sell any of them. Probably just drive me a different car every day. Depending on how I feel. And Charlie, for Christ's sake, do you want to know the truth of it? Baby, I ain't got no husband. He don't play the trombone either. And I gotta borrow money, you see. I gotta pay this lawyer. Hey, Charlie, by the way, they say I'm gonna be eligible for parole come Valentine's Day. Silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright round your virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, you sleep in heavenly peace. You sleep in heavenly peace.
We sold things in the street. We sold cutlery sets at one time. We sold fruit. And the next step was trees.
Is that you, Santa Claus?
name is Vincent Van Ryn. I'm selling trees here on the corner of Atlantic Avenue and Clinton Street in Brooklyn. And I started this place about 30 years ago, and I'm still here. Same spot. We get them from farmers in Nova Scotia, North Carolina, Vermont. We come about December 1st, and then we leave December 24th. And we sell about 2,000 trees. People are very nice. Everybody's happy when they come to buy a tree. Sometimes they're not nice to each other. The husbands and wives get into fights, get nasty with each other. Because she wants a big, big tree, and he doesn't want to spend the money. He wants a little tiny tree, and she calls him a cheap ass. It's a very interesting thing with Christmas trees is there was a city ordinance passed in the 1920s, right after the Depression, that people who set up Christmas tree stands can sell Christmas trees, and you don't need any license, you're not responsible to the Department of Consumer Affairs, and it's basically unreported income. But in those days, you can imagine there was mom and pop stores selling trees for maybe a dollar or two, maybe 10 or 15 trees. Now you have people bringing in thousands of trees. We don't have to declare it to anyone. Well, I do a lot of traveling. I travel around the world a lot. I'm an adventure traveler, seeking high adventure in different countries. I've lived in India, Egypt, Morocco, Ecuador, Peru, the Himalaya Mountains in Nepal and Tibet. And now I'm leaving for Guatemala right after this. There's two volcanoes that are really exploding a lot of lava, so I want to photograph them. No, we don't get cold. Down off wool, L.L. Bean underwear, stuff like that. The Buddhists in the Himalayas, they actually can sleep out in the snow and create so much heat that their blankets actually start steaming.
Do you have a Christmas tree?
No, I'm a Buddhist. Then I can see you.
Yuletide Zeppelin, mashed up by Mojo Chronic. That's off a yearly collection of Christmas mashups called Santastic. That Buddhist Brooklyn Christmas tree seller was Vincent Van Ren, recorded by Lizzie Cooper Davis. Tom Waits did a medley of Silent Night and A Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis. That was recorded live by Austin City Limits, December 1978. Coming up, we get all multi-denominational in a tour of the Holy Land. That's in a minute when our Hanukkah Christmas mashup continues on Hearing Voices.
Is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. From NPR, this is HearingVoices.com.
It's a Hearing Voices Hanukkah Christmas mashup.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Just like the one
I used to know.
Where the treetops glisten
and kitties listen
to hear
sleigh bells in the snow.
Ooh, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Thank you. Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind. And that's what's been changing.
Lost in Old Jerusalem's maze of ancient corridors and distracted by tourist kitsch for sale, I stumble over a plaque on the ground, learning the clumsy in Hebrew, Arabic, and English that the stones I'm walking on are from the end of the Roman period, 3rd to 4th century CE. It's no longer PC to say AD or even BC, before Christ. Instead, it's now CE, Common Era. And so, it is rewritten. I climb a few stairs to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the same church where the C in BC was crucified, buried, then resurrected. This is where the story of Jesus ends, or starts again, depending on how you look at it. Near the entrance is a marble slab, not the original stone, upon which his body fell and was anointed. There's a line to kneel down and kiss it, but because I believe in the flu virus more than Jesus, I pass. Exiting the chapel, I push my way through throngs of Christian Asian tourists taking photos and realize that I'm the greatest foreigner in this land. Not because I was born 10 time zones away, but because I believe it was man who created God. In Jerusalem, religions compete to see which can get you up the earliest. Call to prayers from loudspeakers and minarets try to beat the roosters. Then come the wake-up bells from churches. Not even an atheist can oversleep in the Holy Land. I'm glad Jewish temples don't announce the early morning, but what got me out of bed in an Apocalypse Now moment was a noisy Israeli helicopter hovering over the Temple Mount, Haram al-Sharif, the place where God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac, one of Judaism's most holy places, and, all things being crowded in Jerusalem, it's also where Muhammad dreamt of flying to heaven to be with Allah, a holy site for Muslims. The helicopter was circling the Dome of the Rock, where Muslims were gathering in the nearby mosque to hear a fiery imam speak. The Israeli military, fearing violence, dispatched a helicopter. No one was floating up to heaven today, and young Arab adults, the most incitable, were not allowed to enter the area. So teenagers stammered at checkpoints around the Muslim quarter in front of Israeli soldiers with big guns. Guns are everywhere in the Holy Land. Even children run around with toy pistols. I don't like seeing kids with toy guns because eventually they both grow up. That night I photographed the iconic Dome of the Rock, trying to frame in an almost full moon. It's the same moon the three wise men would have seen at some point on their journey. The same moon, the same stars Abraham and Sarah would have gazed at. It's the same moon I saw as a child. The same moon I see when I am back home, when I am anywhere in the world. The moon has watched humans from the very beginning to the time we touched it. The moon makes the world small and laughs at time. 1/15th of a second. Click, I'm done for the night.
Okay, so my name is Michael O'Sullivan. I'm originally from Ireland, as you can hear by my accent. I'm from the West Coast.
I wanted to talk to someone who knows about ethnic conflict and division, and actually found an Irish Catholic priest working in Jerusalem.
Okay, if Mary and Joseph were to leave Nazareth today, okay, first of all, they wouldn't be able to take the road that they took 2,000 years ago. And because of the road system and the checkpoint system, passage from A to B is extremely difficult. If, of course, they arrived at the checkpoint in Bethlehem as well, they would probably be sent away. For Mary and Joseph today, theoretically, it would be impossible to go to Bethlehem. Of course, as Jews, officially, they couldn't enter into Bethlehem.
Let me repeat that. Jews are not allowed into Bethlehem, the birthplace of the world's most famous Jew. To be specific, Israeli citizens aren't allowed in Area A or areas under the Palestinian Authority. Bethlehem is in Area A.
Mary might be obliged to give birth on a checkpoint, which happens occasionally.
There's another problem today. Because of a snaking security barrier, the birthplace of Jesus is no longer in Israel, though just a stone's throw away, it's actually now in Palestine. If Jesus were to be born in Bethlehem today, he would, technically, be Palestinian.
If Christ were to come back today again, I think his message would be very similar. He probably would be received the same way. Probably would be, he may not be crucified, but probably be put on an electric chair or whatever. Yes, of course. And I think his message would be just as pointed and even as harsh.
The conflict between Jews and the Palestinians is an ancient grudge, going way back to the time when people not only worshipped, but actually talked to God. Like when God talked to Abraham and told him to look to the stars as his descendants would number. Maybe that's the moment the grudge started. When Abraham's wife didn't get pregnant, he turned to the bed of his maid, Hagar, and his son was born, Ishmael. Then God, as God sometimes inexplicably do, as promised, finally came through and Abraham's wife, Sarah, had Isaac. Little Ishmael, father of the Arabs, and his slave mother were kicked out of the home in favor of Isaac, father of the Jews. Abraham, Abrim, Ibrahim, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they all share the same father. Maybe since it started with one being kicked out of a house, homes are the territorial front line today. One afternoon, I watched a Palestinian home being razed in the shadow of new settlement apartments. Another day, I witnessed Isaac in an armored Humvee chase Ishmael, in this case, two old Arab men and three donkeys, off farmland they did not have the correct papers to work on. Isaac said they were too close to a settlement. I could see no buildings anywhere. Because of it, in a few springs from now, an olive branch will not grow. No olive oil will be made. No money will be made. And so it is. And so it will be. 2,000 years after Christ, 4,000 since Abraham, the entrance to Bethlehem does not resemble a Christmas card, mainly because of the tall concrete security wall, barrier, fence, there are many names. Completed a few years ago, just before Christmas, the bulletproof wall cuts off Bethlehem from Jerusalem, birth from rebirth, the Star of David from the Christmas Star. It separates Christmas from Easter. A large banner by the Israeli Ministry of Tourism hangs against a wall next to a gun turret that says in English, Hebrew, and Arabic, "Peace be with you." So it is written.
There's a wall around Bethlehem they can't get through. Really terrific Christmas card.
Phyllis Weisberg is part of Checkpoint Watch, a human rights group of Israeli women that monitor and report and try to help at checkpoints. We're at the main checkpoint where Mary and Joseph would likely have to pass today. Because of poor conditions in the Palestinian hospitals, it's much safer to give birth in an Israeli hospital in Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, they would never have gotten through. I mean, even if she had to give birth, it would have been a problem. There have been cases where people give birth in the checkpoints, you know, that they couldn't get through and make it to the hospital.
Abed worked for 20 years at a popular hotel in Jerusalem as a waiter. He and his wife arrived at the checkpoint last year. Her water had already broken, but the soldiers wouldn't let her pass because their permit was for 2 weeks later. She was 2 weeks premature. It was a medical as well as a political emergency. Abed's an Israeli citizen, but his wife is from Ramallah, and if the child is not born in Israel, its life, politically, socially, could be very different. They found a way through, but don't want to share how. I asked him the name of his child.
Hala. Hala, Hala. It's sweet in Arabic. Hala, it's sweet, yeah. But we don't know what we're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right.
Thank you very much.
It's hard to phrase sometimes the question of belief. I asked an Arab taxi driver in the West Bank one day if he spoke Hebrew. He replied with disgust, "No, I don't speak Jewish."
I'm an unbeliever, but I'm Jewish, and what we're doing doesn't seem to me to have anything to do with Jewish morality, with morality in general, with anything good. Nothing good can come of this, nothing. Well, I don't think it's not Jewish, it's not Christian, it's not Muslim, it's just bad news all around. You can't put a fence around yourself and have people living in the third world 5 minutes from your home. But if you deprive them of hope, then you're going to really need your fences, because people without hope explode. I mean, they just want to do bad things.
I talked with Lizzie Segui, another volunteer and a Zionist. She's a believer. While talking to me, she was struggling to find the right word in English to explain what was going on and had to ask Phyllis. All the while, a boy is trying to sell us a pack of chewing gum.
Phyllis? How about
ignorance?
Ignorance.
This is the, you see this kid? He has no school. He has no kindergarten. He has no love. He knows nothing but the Israeli hates me, and this is why they do it to me. We have to respect everyone.
Is this Jewish?
No. This is the opposite of Jewish. It's to see the ugliest part of my country. And it hurts. It hurts a lot.
I leave them and enter into Bethlehem. They cannot follow. It is written. Soldiers behind blastproof windows wave me past as I hold up my blue American passport. Entering Bethlehem really is like entering a developing country, or a country not able to develop. The Palestinian side of the wall is dense with graffiti. Busted fences list every which way, and rubbish heaps dot the landscape. The tourism economy has been equally devastated, and taxi drivers clamor for my business, offering to take me anywhere for a special price. Jesus? Asks one of the drivers. What? Where Jesus born? Yes, I say. I'd like to see that. Birth is a joyous thing, especially when unexpected, after giving up hope of ever having a child. Sarah and Abraham must have laughed with glee when they had Isaac, for Sarah thought she was too old. God said different. God was right. And so it was. The name Isaac means he laughs. His laughter and blood becomes David's. David's blood then begets and becomes the blood of Jesus. A lineage dripping with laughter, but blood is mixed with tears. Ishmael, the name, means he weeps. The brother of Isaac, the brother of laughter, weeps to this day. Jesus was born in a fireplace, or what looks like a fireplace, a marble hearth underneath the main altar inside the Church of the Nativity, one of the world's oldest functioning churches. Even if it's not the actual place where the manger was, it is now. A woman enters the room, gets on her knees in front of the shrine, leans into the hearth-like space, and kisses the floor, kisses the space where the idea of Jesus was born. She raises back up and exits through the opposite stairway. She doesn't seem happier or changed in any way, almost like she does it daily, like it was nothing special, more like something that has to be done. It takes me over an hour to get through the checkpoint back into Israel, cramming into throngs of Palestinians trying to get through as well. Hand scanners had just been installed, the latest security technology. And like most new technologies, new interfaces, many elderly people were unclear on how to use it. Soldiers shouted instructions through an intercom, but eventually had to risk their lives and come out. I watched a young Israeli soldier press his hand over an old woman so it lay flat on the scanner. It was the most contact I'd seen between an Israeli and a Palestinian on my whole trip. Together, Isaac and Ishmael waited till the red light turned green.
That was Hearing Voices producer Jake Warga. Jake is an excellent photographer, and we have a slideshow of his tour of the Holy Land at our site, hearingvoices.com. And Corporal Blossom made that White Christmas mashup. You are hearing voices from the other side of the Judeo-Christian perspective. Here's Sarah Silverman.
I hate to say it, Santa, but you're acting like you should give presents to everyone who's good and not just to your personal clique. Oh yeah, what does Jesus have to do with
We have a wonderful road race set here. Welcome, Musical Kingdom.
Are kind of a tradition that began clear back in the year 1891, and since then they have kind of taken over every street corner of the country at Christmas. But the kettles are used to raise money for families, you know, Christmas dinner in a box, also a toy program for children, gifts for shut-ins, a clothing project for children. I'm Captain Bowman, commanding officer of the Salvation Army.
Jews defeated the 50,000 Syrians because they were darn good guerrillas. It was hit and run. They knew the country. And finally, they said, okay, go back and worship the way you please. So they lit the... They had some oil for the temple, and they started their service. But strangely enough, the oil lasted for 8 days, and that is why Hanukkah is now a festival of lights and lasts 8 days.
And just to get money up for the needy and stuff, for people that don't have places, you know, stay and don't have food to eat.
I'll tell a tale, 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 tale. Yeah. Of Maccabees in Israel, L, L, L. Yeah. When the Greeks tried to assail, sail, sail, sail. Yeah. But it was all to no avail, veil, veil, veil. Yeah, yeah. The war went on and on and on until the mighty Greeks were gone. Yeah.
I put my lockers in the air sometimes, saying ayo, spin the dreidel. Just wanna celebrate for all 8 nights, singing ayo, light the candles. We say Alhamisim, oh yeah, for all 8 nights.
Their rivals thought, are they for real, 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 real? Those Maccabees, they never yield, 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 yield. They charged ahead with sword and shield, 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 shield. Yeah, yeah, the war went on and on and on until the mighty Greeks were gone. Yeah.
I put my lockers in the air sometimes, saying ayo, spin the dreidel. Just wanna celebrate for all 8 nights, singing ayo, light the candles. We say ma'otun, oh yeah, for all 8 nights. Then we play dreidel by the candlelight. And I told you once, now I told you twice about the miracle of the candlelight.
And the great menorah for 8 days kept on burning. What a celebration, a great return to Torah learning. 'Cause I
גדול היה שם, נס גדול היה שם, נס גדול היה שם, שם, שם.
Beyond all previous years. Yet, while Christmas is a time for rejoicing, it is not for boasting. It is a time for thanksgiving for God's gracious gift, beginning with the first Christmas nearly 2,000 years ago. Let us remember that all conscientious work this past year has been for God's glory and the good of His children. Let us think of Metropolitan's accomplishments not in terms of business faith, of money earned, or assets amassed, but of good deeds done, of more extensive service of millions of people blessed, of lives saved, of health improved, of sorrow solid, of needs supplied, of friendship with the people extended and deepened, of opportunities multiplied for future responsibility. Let us resolve to meet these next year, and meanwhile, let us be happy and merry and give thanks for God's blessings this past year.
Metropolitan Life Insurance Company President Haley Fisk with his 1923 Christmas message to his employees, along with the MetLife Glee Club. That Hanukkah story, Candlelight, was sung by the Maccabees, some students from Yeshiva University in New York. Give Da Jew Girl Toys is Sarah Silverman off her Jesus Is Magic CD. I'm Barrett Golding. We took a Hanukkah Christmas tour of my town, Bozeman, Montana, with Captain Bowman of the Salvation Army, the Sweet Adelaides, Morris Jaffe giving us that Hebrew military history, and some Amazing Grace guitars by Blake Simpson. There's links to everything you heard this hour at hearingvoices.com.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Our producers are Scott Carrier, Ann Hepperman, Larry Massett, and Kara Oler. Our intern is Max Darum. Mix engineer is Robin Wise of soundimagery.com. Executive producer is Barrett Golding. From NPR, National Public Radio, this is hearingvoices.com.